Well, good morning, church family. My name is Pastor Vince Arnaldo. I'm the executive pastor here at Woodbridge Community Church. I get the privilege to occasionally give the Sunday message, but I don't do it very often, so if I'm a little nervous, I hope you'd understand. And isn't it great to be here today? How do you feel about our new COVID protocol restrictions being lifted? All right. Well, you know, just wanted to tell you that we've been praying about this, and now we're here, and we're encouraging people to start coming back to church, and you help us encourage other people. We're going to have a great, great celebration next week. Next Sunday, we're going to be inviting everyone to come and join us. Those who missed their birthdays last year because of COVID, come. It's your birthday celebration. We're having an unbirthday celebration for everyone. So come and join us. For one more announcement regarding VBS, registration is open for 10 slots. We have 10 slots remaining for elementary age kids. Preschool is already closed, but if you'd like to register your kids, you can still register them. Today is the last day for registration. You have to go to Building C. You can't register online anymore. So the registration is closed online. You have to go to Building C to register personally. So today, we're going to talk about the Church, a Family of Jesus. This is the fourth in a series of messages, and we're going to talk about the testimony of the Church. One of the more well-known and well-documented martyrdoms in the history of the Church is the story of the 40 martyrs of Sebastian, now Silvas, in modern-day Turkey. It happened around 320 AD, and the story goes that there were 40 soldiers in Legion 12 who had openly declared their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their emperor at that time was Valerius Licinius, who persecuted Christians and ordered that these soldiers be stripped naked in a frozen pond near Sebaste that they might freeze to death. A hot cauldron was kept near the lake available for any of them who would be willing to deny Jesus and recant their devotion to him. After a while, one soldier couldn't stand it anymore and recanted, so now there were 39. However, one of the guards, Aglaeus, who kept watch over them, was so moved by these martyrs' testimony that he threw off his garments, joined the 39 in the freezing pond, and once again there were 40. At daybreak, their stiffened bodies were burned and their ashes cast into a river. Since then, countless of people have given their lives for Jesus, many being tortured and killed because they would not deny their faith in God. I'd like you to meet Pastor Jean-Paul Sankagui. He stood firm in his faith as chaos erupted around him and his church located in a Muslim neighborhood in the Central African Republic. Many in his church left the area when a clash between the government and anti-Balaka militias fueled hostility towards Christians. Pastor Jean-Paul, however, stayed behind in obedience to God. And on February 7, 2017, Islamists shot him to death outside his church. I'd like you to meet Eliza, living in northern Mozambique. She arrived home just in time to see Islamists murder her father and her husband, who was a pastor. Her uncle had already been beheaded. Grief-stricken and fearing for their lives, Eliza and 18 members of her family headed south, joining more than 200,000 others fleeing the Islamic advance in their area. Meet Rocio Pino. She was known for sharing the gospel everywhere she went. "All who come here will hear about Christ," she once said of her ministry in an area controlled by the FARC, the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, or known as the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. But Rocio's witness for Christ to guerrilla fighters drew the attention of this most violent Marxist group leaders. One day, a female guerrilla fighter stopped by Rocio's house, and Rocio shared the gospel with her and gave her a New Testament. A few weeks later, Rocio was shot to death on her doorstep by members of the AFRC in retaliation for her witness to the young female guerrilla fighter. Rocio's husband and children watched as Rocio bled to death with no one willing to help them. Understanding the risk, Rocio and her family chose to live and share the gospel in a dangerous area of Colombia because they took the gospel commission seriously. So let me ask you this question. What do all these Christians have in common? What is it that they get that we so often miss and take for granted? It's this. They will not give up their right to testify to what Jesus had done for them. They refuse to be silenced. Matthew 10:23 says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." To many Christians in other parts of the world, giving testimony of what Jesus had done for them is so precious, so important, that they are willing to pay the price for sharing their testimony, even if it means giving up their lives for it. When Peter and John were forbidden by the religious authorities to talk about Jesus, they simply said in Acts 4, chapter 19, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And ever since then, this fundamental characteristic of genuine Christianity is their eagerness to testify of their faith and devotion to Jesus Christ, to the point that they would rather be tortured and killed than to keep silent about their faith in Jesus. Today is the fourth message in a series called Church, the Family of Jesus, and today we will talk about the testimony of the church. What is the testimony of the church? Testimony is simply defined by the Cambridge Dictionary as spoken or written statement that something is true. It's true. And to the extent that something is true, to that extent you're willing to stake your life on it. That is why the apostles were willing to die for Jesus. Which brings us to a fundamental question in life. Why testify? Why are these martyrs so willing to give up their lives just to be able to share their testimony of what Jesus has done for them? Why? But isn't it easier to just recant, as in the story of the 40 martyrs? No need to suffer. So much easier to be quiet, not rock the boat, not offend anybody, especially somebody that can hurt you or kill you. So why testify? Why? Because the gospel message is true. Verse 19, Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Why testify? Because they know it's true that Jesus is God. He died to pay for the punishment for our sins in order to reconcile us back to God. The apostles were eyewitnesses to the miracle of Jesus, his resurrection. That is why they know it to be true. Last Sunday, Pastor Frank explained the background of this passage, how it refers to the tabernacle and the curtain that separates us from the most holy place where God's presence dwells, and how the blood of Jesus, our great high priest, opened the way for us to enter God's holy presence now, to be reconciled with the holy God. I will not explain this again today. If you'd like to listen to a full explanation of that, watch last Sunday's message in our website. All I can say is this, that reconciliation with God is a privilege that these martyrs did not take silently and lightly. They treasured it and are willing to die proclaiming it, whether in their life or in their death. Which brings us to the second reason why we testify, and it's because this gospel message changes lives. Because this gospel message changes lives, that is why we know it to be true. It works. It changed the lives of the martyrs. What could be more important and precious than having your sins forgiven? The very sins that separates you from God. That is why they insisted on telling their story. And as Christians, we should be excellent storytellers. Why? Because we are testifying to the truth, especially the truth about what happened to us. See, the beauty of sharing your testimony, your personal testimony, is that you have nothing to prove, nothing to debate. You are not trying to win an argument. You are merely telling a story, your story. Specifically, the story of what Jesus has done for you. Every one of the martyrs' story I shared with you is a person whose life was changed by Jesus. So their testimony is this. Jesus is God. I am His follower. He loves me. He changed my life. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Yes. Are you His follower? Yes. Have you experienced His love? Yes. Has He changed your life? Yes. Then what is your story? Your life testimony? Who are you sharing it with? Finally, what cost are you willing to pay in order to be able to share this testimony with someone else? The third reason we share our testimony is this. By doing so, we are investing in eternity. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust consume nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The way to store up treasures in heaven is by serving the Lord, doing the things that build up the kingdom of God, that will matter for eternity. And whenever we share our testimony of what Jesus has done, this is what happens. We form a part of a chain of events that God uses to reach people. Eventually, people believe. They enter the kingdom of God. We build the kingdom of God. We invest in the kingdom of God. One of the most fascinating stories on investing that I know is the story of Apple Computers. You see, way back in 1976, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak started Apple Computers, but they needed money. At that time, Steve Jobs worked for Atari. So naturally, he approached his boss, the president and founder, Nolan Bushnell, for funding. Bushnell said that Steve Jobs offered him one-third of Apple Computers for $50,000, way back in 1976. He turned them down. And in his own words, he said, "Big mistake." How big a mistake was it? Today, Apple Computers is the largest publicly traded corporation in the world with an estimated market capitalization of $2.8 trillion in March 2021. Bushnell missed his opportunity. He could have owned one-third of that today. Can you count how much is one-third of $2.8 trillion? But what really made it a big mistake was that of all the billions of people in the world living at that time, the opportunity was offered only to him, and he turned it down. Do you get opportunities to share Jesus with others? People who do not know him? How hard is it to do that? Harder than the stories I shared of the people who gave up their lives for Jesus? Every day, you and I get an opportunity to invest, as in the words of Jesus, in treasures in heaven. Eternal riches that will never be corrupted, that moths and rust will not consume, and nobody can steal away from you. It will never be a bad investment. Share while you can. Don't be like Nolan Bushnell, who had the opportunity of a lifetime and threw away his chance. What's at stake here is even greater than $2.8 trillion. Which brings up to the next question, how can we testify about our love for Jesus in the church? How do we testify? Well, first of all, by attending faithfully. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur up one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what does it mean to attend church faithfully? First, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean just showing up. It doesn't mean just watching online. That is an important part of it, but that is not all of it. Attending faithfully means having what is called a ministry of presence. A ministry of presence. What does that mean? It simply means that your presence in the church community is making a difference. It doesn't matter whether it's big or small, but it is making a difference. A ministry of presence has the essential element of getting together and encouraging one another. This is what verse 25 says. Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching, meaning the coming of Jesus Christ is slowly approaching, and every day that passes brings us one day closer to it. It's a ministry of presence. Church is not the building, it's the people. So ministry of presence means that if somebody needs you, you are there. If the church needs you, you are there. When other people need you, you are there. That's how your presence is making a difference. Unfortunately, in Western culture, there is this idealization of the ordered life. A life where everything is neatly in its place. And we do not want that life to be disrupted or bothered or disorganized. We want our lives to be orderly, to be predictable. We do not want to be inconvenienced. There's nothing wrong with that. However, if you want to have a ministry of presence, sometimes it may require you to be inconvenienced, to be bothered, to be disrupted, for your schedules to be changed. When Jesus came to earth to save mankind, do you think his schedule was disrupted? Oh, you bet! But was it worth it? Jesus seems to think so. That's why he came to earth for us. We are worth it. Why? Because he loves us. And in the same token, he asks us to follow his example, to love one another, to encourage one another, because of that same love that he puts in our heart and that we now put in the hearts of others when we share love to them. Listen to this testimony of Mila Sakilabon, how the church family rallied around her and her family in their time of need. Let's watch it.
Good morning, church. Despite following protocols, I contracted COVID-19 through one of my close friends at work the end of January this year. At first, I was stunned knowing all 28 employees were negative and I'm the only one positive. I told my family maybe the company testing has just made a mistake. I asked, should I have a repeat test the following day? Then I realized the headache I experienced earlier in the day had become severe. I also began feeling body aches and probably had a fever too. So I isolated myself and cried to the Lord. Also began, what happened to your promise in Psalm 91, Lord? Did you not say you are going to cover me with your wings even with this pestilence? Why did I get it? Why of all people from my work, why me? Lord, am I not your child? After a while, God pacified me. He reminded me he died for me, that I should not be afraid for myself and for my family, that he will be with me. So what if I die? I will be with him in heaven. What is sweeter than that? So I got up, took medication for fever and pain, and contacted Pastor Vin and my doctor. Then I let my testing growth group family know, my sibling in the Philippines and close friends know that I had COVID. It was amazing because after telling them, I felt that the burden in my heart go away. We couldn't do anything, so God went to work. He sent angels to rescue and us and provide our needs. My Woodbridge Community Church, Road Group family and friends brought food and drink for us. My Road Group constantly asked what we needed and how we are doing. our Pastor Vint and Pastor Graham, was always calling and praying for us. We got cards also from friends and from our church family, from Pastor Winans and Cinda. We also got some monetary gifts. Being the recipient of all these acts of kindness made us ponder how wonderfully blessed we were. Then on the sixth day, I developed a cough and had difficulty breathing. My sister wanted me to go to the ER again, but my doctor asked to see me instead. After the consultation, he sent me to a different ER. The ER doctor said, "I came at just the right time. If I had come any later, I probably would have needed to be intubated." It was then I realized how mysteriously God works, how He allows something bad to happen, and from nowhere provides the solution or saves you at the last minute, so you know for sure it was Him alone who was responsible for the miracle. I went home, still not well, but better. My WCC church, family and friends continued to minister to my family for almost a month. In March, my husband and I finally got better and we were able to go back to work. Praise God. So, through the ups and downs of our COVID experience, my family and I feel grateful to the Lord allowed us to feel His love through our loved ones, church family and friends. It was hard, but it would have been more difficult if we didn't have their support. And it would have been unbearable without God. So thank you, God, and thank you all for standing with us, WCC, during this season of our lives. My name is Mila Sakilabon, and praise be to God.
Now that's an example of sharing your testimony. I have to tell you this because she was very nervous sharing that. But she was just telling her story of how God has been so good to her. And that's how we share our testimony. Just share what happened to you. Is that so hard to do? Well, she felt it was hard because she was nervous. But she did it anyway. So even if you're nervous about sharing or telling your story to someone, share anyway. You never know what God's going to do. You really never know. So attending faithfully here means you're there. You're willing to encourage other people. It's a ministry of presence. It's not whether it's an in-person presence or an online presence. The important thing is your presence is making a difference. During the pandemic, I was so blessed by the many people who understood the ministry of presence. People couldn't come to church, but they were still engaged in this ministry of presence. They were still giving, using online giving or mailing in their checks. They were calling up the church office, asking how we can help. They were delivering food to church members who were sick. They were coming to church, setting it up so that it would be ready when the church opens up. They were calling up members who were discouraged and needed prayers. They were encouraging one another through Zoom meetings. They were coming here, leading in worship services and broadcasting it online. There's a lot of work that needed to be done in the background to make sure church happens, and they were there. When church started opening up, they were here volunteering their services. Those who couldn't come because they were at risk, they were engaged in prayer, praying for other people, encouraging other people who had prayer needs in the church. There were a lot of people who understood what it meant to have a ministry of presence. Their radar is up. Who can I encourage today? What visitor can I help today feel welcome? Who can I greet or offer a smile? Where can I serve? Do you need someone to fold chairs, carry boxes, set up the tent, clean the toilets? Where can I make a difference? That is what it means to attend faithfully. My presence is making a difference. And they wanted to make a difference no matter how big or how small. No matter how big, like running the worship service or disinfecting the facility, or how small, like offering a smile or saying hi or calling up someone. In God's economy, it's not really how much you're doing, how big you're doing. It's how much you do with what you are able to do. Which brings me to my next point in giving testimony. So how else can we give testimony? By living godly lives. You see, it's important to Jesus what we say about Him, both in our words and in our deeds. Serving others like Jesus, who came to serve and not to be served. These martyrs were not just willing to talk, they were also willing to walk the talk. Philippians 1:27 says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." When it comes to living a godly life, what we need to ask ourselves is this question. Do we have the same attitude as Jesus, who came to serve and not to be served? Matthew 20 says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I say this because sometimes our Western culture teaches us what is called a consumer mentality, where I'm supposed to be a consumer, and whoever is selling me something should seek to serve me in order for me to embrace their products and beliefs. And sometimes this consumer mentality can slowly creep into our churches and in our thinking about church, in our church culture. And in that consumer mentality, the church is seen as a vendor of program and ideas, as their product. And so the church must serve me in order for me to like their product. The church exists to serve me and to minister to me. Now here's my question. Is that true? Is that true? What do you think? Does the church exist to serve you? Yes? No? Answer? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But that's only half the truth. That is just half the truth. Yes, the church is there to minister to you, but only so that at some point you can eventually pour out and minister to someone else. It doesn't stop with you. It was meant to be passed on. That is where good works and living the godly life makes sense. God, through the church, pours into your life and ministers to you, grows you and encourages you, so at some point you can give and pour out into the lives of others. Why? Because you are the church. You are the one that God will use to reach out to others. This is what church does. You're not just here to take up space and consume resources. You're also here to give back to the church family and the church community. You serve others and give to others because God had already given to you. And you have experienced Him in a genuine way. So you serve God not out of obligation, but out of love. You do good deeds because you want to, not because you have to. And that is where a lot of religious institutions have failed throughout the centuries. It's because they require and oblige people to do good works and use it as a means to get to heaven, to earn favor with God. Good deeds were never intended to earn us merit to get to heaven. Good works were intended to be an expression of devotion to God because you have already experienced His love. It's not done out of obligation. It's done out of love. God knows He cannot force anyone to love Him. For love to be love, it must be given freely from the heart. Right? Right? Love is something you cannot force. It has to be given freely. Doing good only works if it comes from your heart. In the story of the widow's mite in Luke chapter 21, 1-4, Jesus talks about an old widow, and it says this, It says, he looked up and he saw the rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. They were giving offering to the temple. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them combined. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, she put in all she had to live on. She gave out of her heart. In God's economy, it's not really about what you do or how big you're doing. It's how much you do with what you're able to do. You see, it's not the amount of money or the volume of good works that you do, but rather the attitude of your heart when you do it, when you give, when you serve, when you do something to help someone or volunteer in the church. Here is the spiritual principle from the widow's mite. God will not judge you by the amount of what you do, but rather by how much of what you can do you are willing to do. In other words, God is not expecting you to do something you cannot do. He will not set you up to fail. He, however, looks at what you can do and how much of that you are willing to do for Him. Let me ask you this. Can you open your mouth? Can you share your life story to someone? Is that something you cannot do? Or is that something you can do? Just food for thought. That's the principle of the widow's mite. The two copper coins were only worth a fraction of a penny, but that represented all she had. The others gave so much more, but they didn't even feel it. They were so rich anyway. They could have given more, but they didn't because they only wanted to give enough to impress others. It's all for show. They were not giving from their heart. They gave out of the abundance of their riches. The widow gave sacrificially from the abundant goodness of her heart. How much talent do you have? How much time do you have? What abilities do you have? Do you think you can give a portion of that to serve God? If the answer is yes, then apply the principle of the widow's mite in your service to God. You see, church is slowly opening up. We will need more volunteers again in different ministries. Next Sunday is also our Volunteer Appreciation Sunday. We will be getting sign-ups for various volunteer positions in the church. Are you willing to serve others? It's not about how big or small your role is. It's about the willingness of your heart to serve. Which brings me to my next point in giving testimony. It's this. By giving regularly. 1 Corinthians 16 says, on the first day of the week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Why is supporting your church family an important part of giving testimony? Because it is through your support that we are able to continue doing God's work through the ministries of this church. God's ministry is funded by God's people. That's God's way. During the pandemic, the government shut down all mass gatherings, including churches. A lot of churches were not meeting in person. And so obviously, the offering basket was not being passed. And because it was not being passed, offerings were not being taken. God was yet again testing His people, whether they would continue giving even though the offering basket was not passed. A lot of churches suffered financially at the beginning of the shutdowns. And we were wondering if our giving will dip as well. What a test of fellowship! But Woodbridge Community Church passed the test. People were still faithfully giving to the church. Even though the church was not meeting in person, the church family still gave faithfully to the church, either through online giving or by mailing in their checks. The added steps did not hinder people from giving faithfully, and our giving did not dip. What a tremendous testimony for God, isn't it? Of the faithfulness, your faithfulness, the faithfulness of His people. That is why I want to affirm you, our church family, and let you know that we in the leadership truly appreciate your faithfulness. Because of you, the ministries of this church continued on. I could give so many examples. But let me just share with you one story of how your faithful giving has made a difference in people's lives. Listen to this story of just one of our partner ministries in the Philippines, ministering to the urban poor community in Payatas. Listen to this.
Warmest greetings from the Philippines. I am Pastor Carlos of Breakthrough.
2020 was a very difficult yet challenging year for us at Breakthrough. On January 12, 2020, a Frito magmatic eruption occurred in Taal volcano, dislocating thousands of people. We went to the area in partnership with the local evangelical church to comfort, minister, and distribute hot meals and grocery packages to some 200 families at the evacuation area. Last March 16, 2020, the Philippine government declared a nationwide lockdown due to the transmission of COVID-19 virus. Through your generous donations, Breakthrough continued the feeding program, giving food and milk to our malnourished children, distributing them in their homes in the middle of the pandemic. We were able to respond to the call of our barangay to help out, not only feed our frontline volunteers every day, but to pray for them as well. We were able to serve 6,619 hot meals from May to August 2020. 1,208 families received relief grocery packages. Many in the community were amazed how Breakthrough was able to immediately respond to the needs of the community, including those who were not members of the church, week after week. The people in the community know that Breakthrough is open to help those who were in need for encouragement and food. We made sure that we have stock of relief packages to give away anytime. This brought at least 300 decisions to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then Typhoon Ulysses, a powerful and deadly Category 4 typhoon, struck the Philippines and Vietnam. It also caused the worst flooding in Metro Manila since Quetzana in 2009. The typhoon devastated so many provinces in the Philippines, including Metro Manila. 3 of the 10 outreach areas of Breakthrough were hardest hit, destroying homes, leaving thousands of families homeless. Breakthrough responded immediately after the typhoon and provided food and clothing for the people. We organized a kitchen crew which fed 300 people in Tumana. We distributed 200 relief packages and 2,600 new undergarments. Your partnership enabled us to give 170 relief packages and serve 250 meals for the children. For 43 days, a total of 8,600 meals were served to Tumana, New Greenland, and Jubilee. Every day, members of the church overcame their fear of going out and began to help distribute food to the people. Children, including their parents, fell in line to receive their meals. We also helped 75 families by giving much needed construction materials to rebuild their homes. We brought truckloads of cement, timber, sand, and gave them to families in need. Your donation helped additional 20 families with roofing sheets, timber, and nails. During the two-month period, Breakthrough served the community, bringing in at least 400 new families into the kingdom. It opened doors of opportunities to three new communities, namely New Greenland, Phase 1, Area 5, Sitio Veterans, and Sitio Bacal. These hardcore communities were difficult to penetrate as most of the residents are close to the gospel, but the acts of kindness and commitment of our members who went every day despite the pandemic and the deep mud just to distribute meals, grocery packages, and distribute truckloads of construction materials softened the heart of the people, especially the fathers. Mostly construction workers out of work, the fathers banded together when they were encouraged to be part of the livelihood program to fabricate concrete hollow blocks. Fathers who work voluntarily get the hollow blocks for free for the repair or rebuilding of their homes. Some neighbors were already buying their hollow blocks, thus giving them additional income. Winning their trust and friendship made them so curious about God. They started to ask about why we are constantly helping them. We told them, the love of God compels us. We thank Woodbridge for the continued support to the educational sponsorship that has encouraged the students and their parents so much in the midst of the pandemic. There is now a hunger for the Word of God and fellowship. We now conduct Bible studies and services in these communities. More fathers are now actively involved in our weekly meetings. More families are committing their lives to Christ, seeing that He is the only hope.
Doesn't that warm your heart? We partnered with them, and that's why they were able to do all of that. You gave. That's why we were able to do all of that. That's how the family of God works together to make a difference. This is only one of the many missions outreach that we support throughout the world. In this corridor, in one of the corridors in this building, you will see a missions wall. It has all the missionaries and missions outreach that we support. Go check it out. That doesn't even include the missionaries that we support in restricted access countries where sharing Jesus is forbidden. We didn't include them for security reasons. This is the reason why we give. Your testimony in giving, you are making a difference. Lives are being changed. The kingdom of God is being built despite the pandemic. In fact, we have one missionary who's here visiting with us. David Foster, could you stand? And he's ministering in Thailand. He's our missionary there. But this is the partnership that we have. We share in their investment in the kingdom of God because we send them out. We support them out in the ministry. This year is the 50th anniversary of Woodbridge Community Church. That's 50 years of faithfully sharing the gospel and the word of God. I'm sure that the founders of this church never imagined that someday this small church that they started would one day be a church composed of three buildings with a 700-seat facility, having a multicultural and multi-generational ministry here in Irvine. This is a testimony of what God can do through a group of people, a church family that can dream big dreams for God because they want to testify of God's love to the community. Are we there yet? Oh no, we are far from it. We're still learning what it means to be a diverse church family composed of people from different cultures and ethnic groups, living together in love and harmony. There is so much we still need to learn about what it means to serve Christ day by day by serving one another and serving the community. What does the next 50 years have in store for Woodbridge Community Church? I do not know. But one thing I do know, if we continue to testify to the love of Jesus, how He has changed our lives, if we continue to serve one another as Christ has served us, if we continue to give to support the ministries of the church family, we will continue to make an impact in our community beyond our wildest imagination. So here's the summary of my message today. If you want to live a meaningful life, if you truly want to make a difference, if you want your life to count for something, here's what you need to do with your life. If you follow this, you will live a life well lived. And it's this. Make sure that your life has a story to tell how Jesus has changed your life, a calling to serve how you are making a difference in the lives of others, and an offering to give how your generosity is storing up treasures in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for testimony. The ability to give a testimony of how amazing you are, how vast your love and grace is, how much you've changed our lives, and how different our lives would be today if not for you. Help us to share our story with others. Thank you for those that are already sharing their story. May you increase their tribe. May you bless their kind who are not afraid to open their mouths and even die for this story that you've put in their hearts. Help us to be bold. Help us to serve one another as you have served us. Help us to give as you have given to us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.